First reading is from Paul's letters to the Colossians, chapter 4. Final greetings. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my change. Grace be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
The gospel reading is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 33 to 35. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." This is the gospel of the Lord.
We will come back to the faith later after the service. Now we will get into the message. We have reached the end of our sermon series on Colossians. First, we explored its theology. Jesus is above all, and Jesus is sufficient for all. That's what we discussed in our first sermon. Second sermon, we addressed the issues facing the Colossian church. What were the three issues we discussed? Legalism, asceticism, and mysticism. And then last week, we discussed how Jesus restores us. He restores us. Therefore, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of God. Jesus is restoring us. Therefore, put off the worldly passions, the earthly passions. Jesus is restoring us. Therefore, put on the new life that we discussed last week. Today, we will consider how we work together to fulfill God's purpose. Now, the overarching theme of Colossians is the supremacy of Jesus. That's what we discussed on the first day. The overarching theme is the supremacy of Jesus. He is supreme in creation. Through him and for him, everything in heaven and on earth was created. So he is supreme in his creation. He is central to our redemption. He is the first fruit from the dead. So Jesus is supreme in the creation. He is central in our redemption. And also we said he is supreme in the new creation, in the new life that we are going to enjoy, which we started enjoying. And that life, he is the center. That's the reason Paul, in his letter to Colossians, says that you should have Jesus centered life, Christ-centered life. So he prays for Colossians that you have Christ-centered life, develop Christ-centered life. That's what he preached. Now we move on to our main meditation today. I hope it works. When we go to movies, do we stay until the screen goes blank? After the movie ends, a list of names of those who worked on the movie appears. Do you watch it? Most of us don't, because we consider it unimportant. But without those people, the movie wouldn't exist. Paul acknowledges that he carries out his ministry with the help of his co-workers. He recognizes them. And in almost all his epistles, he includes a list of their names. But one epistle, he doesn't include those names. Can you say which epistle he doesn't include names? It's not a big question. If you don't know the answer, that's not a problem. But one particular epistle, he doesn't include the names. Galatians, very good, well done. Yeah, Galatians is written in a different context, and he's very angry with the people at Galatia, and then he comes very strongly on them. But that's not our discussion here. But in all epistles, he has a set of names, particularly Romans chapter 16, who is who in his ministry, you will notice. So he gives names. Remember, he acknowledges them. He encourages them. He says his ministry is very much depend on these many co-workers. In this particular chapter, that is Colossians chapter 4, he mentions 10 names, each conveying an important message for all of us. That's what we are going to look at it today. Now, I have four four points which I will make it, and I'll close our meditation today. Paul calls Tychicus a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. Tychicus' name is not very prominently appears, but he plays an important role in the ministry of Paul. He was a companion. He, at this point, he is bringing this letter to Colossians, the Colossians letter. He is bringing from Italy, from Rome to Colossae, which is around 1,000 miles. And he brings it. He is a mailman. Paul wants to recognize him. And he says he is a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. Faithful. The little work that he does, that he does it faithfully. He is loyal. And he is trustworthy. And he is doing it consistently. He is traveling with Paul in his journeys. He is one of the travel companions. A wonderful brother. And he also mentions here Onesimus. Who is Onesimus? A runaway slave who does not have a great reputation. But now he's restored. So Paul calls him, my dear brother. That's what he says. He is my brother. What Paul wants us to know is that whether free or slave, we are all in this together. We are all in this together. God has restored us, and we are all one, and we are all together in this journey. A lighthouse keeper was responsible for keeping the light burning every night so that ships can safely navigate dangerous waters. One night, people came asking for oil, one for a lamp, another for a stove, another for personal use. This gatekeeper thought that he has to help them because all these people who came to him came with the genuine needs, and he gave them. By nightfall, the lighthouse ran out of oil and the light went out, causing ships to crash on the rocks. What was his job? He needs to be faithful to the job that is committed to him, but he distracted himself and that caused problem. Whatever little work we do, whatever responsibilities that we take, remain doing it. Be faithful, be sincere, loyal. And that's what we need to be exhibiting. Tychicus exhibited that wonderful character. Mother Teresa said, God has not called me to be successful. He has called me to be faithful. This is not how many people I treat today. That's not what matters to the Lord. Do I do it faithfully? Now, the second... here something is missing, but anyway, hope and warning. There are two groups of people we are going to look at it. The first set is Mark, the second is Demas. Mark, Paul considers him as a fellow prisoner. Mark is with him in Rome. Why Mark is in, who is this Mark? John Mark is his name, who left Paul and Barnabas in their first missionary journey. Hope you remember this now. When Paul and Barnabas went for their first missionary journey, John Mark joined with them. After they finished their ministry in Cyprus and moved on, John Mark returned. He left them in the middle. He came back to Jerusalem, which did not go well with Paul. Paul didn't like it at all. When they started the second missionary journey along with Barnabas, Barnabas said, we should take Mark with us. And Paul said, nothing doing. We are not going to take Mark. He left us in the middle of our first journey. He should not join with us. So they had a big argument, and the team that they formed is divided. Barnabas went on other side, and Paul had his second missionary journey. Paul now says, this Mark is with me. The one who left, the one who went back, the one who backslided, he is now restored. And we know for sure that he is the one who wrote the Gospel of Mark. He is with Paul in the prison in Rome. Restored. Now, another person who is Demas, who is with Paul in the prison. At this moment, when Paul wrote this letter, he was very much with him in prison. But when Paul wrote 2 Timothy, he wrote to Timothy saying that Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me. He who started well, now he is gone into the world. He was with Paul during his difficult time. Now he left Paul and he went into the world. Now, what do we learn from these two people? The lesson that we learn is we have hope. God has not finished his work yet in us. He is continuously working in us. If we are discouraged and gone back a bit, or we are not journeying fast enough with our Lord, there is hope. He has not left us. He has not deserted us. We deserted him. Come back. Be restored to him. At the same time, we all need to remind ourselves that we have a long journey to go. God has not finished his work yet in us. I want to bring two verses here before I go to the next one. Paul says, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. If we are very proud of ourselves, then we are in trouble. We have a long way to go. The journey is going on. And Jesus is helping us. He is shaping us. He is molding us. He is creating us. Allow him to shape you. Yes. Remember this. The one who endures to the end will be saved. We go to the next one, which is about Epaphras. The title is missing. Please forgive me. Epaphras is known for his prayer life. Paul says, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. Epaphras is from Colossae. He is the one who is instrumental in establishing church in Colossae. He is also instrumental in establishing churches in Hierapolis, which is next to Colossae. He is also responsible in establishing church in Laodicea. A very prominent person, he is wrestling in prayer. What do we mean by, what do we learn from this? Now, Colossae, the church is going through a tough time. False teaching is coming in. The church is shaken a bit, but he is wrestling in prayer that this church may stand firm. He is not giving up. That's what Paul says. He has worked hard for you, and he is praying that you stand firm. Not only you stand firm, but also you grow in the knowledge of God. You grow in maturity. He is not giving up. I'm not going to give up. This church has to grow stronger. How are we praying? Are we praying, wrestling with God? Are we keeping the hope alive for all the problems that we see in our lives, in our church life? Epaphras is a prayer warrior wrestling with the Lord. You know, we are like watchmen. Watchman guards the city. He cannot sleep but watches over the city. Through prayer, we are watching over the city. We are asking God's protection over the city. Through prayer, we are praying that people in the city may come to know Jesus is God. Through prayer, we are wrestling with God, saying that, Lord, save people from the city to your kingdom. We cannot allow this to go lightly with us. Wrestle with the Lord. Stand firm in your prayer. We cannot sleep. We have to keep praying. Finally, we talk about Archippus. Paul is talking about a person called Archippus who is probably serving either Colossae or in Hierapolis. We don't know. But Paul says, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. Archippus, see to it you complete the work you have received in the Lord. In other words, Paul is saying to Archippus, finish well. You started well, but you have to finish well. Whatever his role, he was involved in some type of ministry. And he was in danger of stopping it before he completed. That's the scenario. Paul is encouraging him, saying that, finish well. Why he is saying that? Perhaps he was tired. Perhaps he was distracted. Maybe he was just discouraged. Paul is encouraging him, saying that, finish well. Complete the task that is given to you. Don't leave it in the middle. Finish well. Probably you are all familiar with this picture. Cynidane, Cydain, right? Did I say it correct? We know him. I watched this match, 2006. He played for 17 years and scored approximately 156 goals. But do you think he finished well? He had a good career, but at the end, after this, he did not play any professional game. Everything came to a standstill at this point. A person called Dr. Robert Clinton studied over 100 characters, 100 biblical characters, and found out that only 30% finished well. Even the biblical characters. Biblical characters, 100 people he studied, 30 of them finished well. Demas started well, and he did not finish well. And the call has come to us that we need to finish well. It's good to start. Yes, we are in the journey, and God is wanting us to see that we finish well. Are we finishing well? Two things very strongly coming out of Colossians. Jesus is above all, and we need to have him in the center of our lives. Keep yourself devoted to him. And the second point is, because you are devoted to him, keep doing the work that God has given you. That could be any work. That could be just cleaning the church. That could be taking care of an elderly person, or that could be taking care of a person who is bedridden. That could be anything. And the words for the year is this: whatever you do, do it from the heart as something for the Lord and not for people. Jesus says this very beautifully in Matthew chapter 10. Even a glass of water given in Jesus' name will not be forgiven. All that you do, little or more, whatever little things that you do, God remembers it. He will not forget it. Probably I might have forgotten, probably you might have forgotten all the little things that you have done. He remembers it, and he will suitably reward it. Keep doing the good work. Not waiting for the reward, but keep doing it faithfully, and God will suitably reward. May the dear Lord bless us all.